新闻，
跟着少年报导者一起打开通往世界的任意门。
People who cannot speak with their voice. Descendants of Thailand Burma Orphan Army. Citizens of the Republic of China deprived of their citizenship by the war and cannot become Taiwanese. At the beginning of 2024, Taiwan elected its 16th president and 11 legislature members. More than 19 million voters used their votes to show the world the achievement of Taiwan's democracy. Although it was an open, transparent, and smooth election, it does not necessarily signify the full realization of fairness and justice. Taiwan is a multi-ethnic society, and there are many people with different cultural backgrounds on our land. Under the current political system, their voices are difficult to express through the ballot, and in many cases, they are essentially outsiders to the electoral process. The series People Who Cannot Speak With Their Votes aims to delve into their stories and to understand why these marginalized individuals in Taiwanese society cannot have their expectations and identities included or accommodated in an open and free democratic society. What are the flaws in a system where the minority obeys the majority in elections? There are approximately tens of thousands of descendants of the lost soldiers who cannot see the light. The Thai Myanmar Orphan Army refers to the soldiers of the Republic of China's army who retreated from Yunnan, China, to the northern border of Myanmar between 1949 and 1954 after Second Sino-Japanese War. They now reside in the northern border regions of Thailand, bordering Myanmar and Laos. In the 1950s, a group of lost soldiers retreated to Taiwan and were resettled by the government in places such as Zhongzhen New Village in Longgang, Taoyuan. In the early days, descendants of the orphaned army came to Taiwan through various means, such as relying on relatives or studying. Still, during the process of applying for naturalization, some were unable to obtain their citizenship due to various factors, such as the inability to obtain birth certificate due to the war, and ended up staying illegally. Especially in recent years, due to the unstable political situation in Myanmar, the number of descendants of the orphaned army coming to Taiwan has increased compared to before. Some of them have no choice but to stay in Taiwan illegally after their tourist visas expire. There are estimated to be tens of thousands of undocumented descendants of Thai and Burmese soldiers. While some fortunate individuals can rely on their families, unfortunate one works in the shadow, fearing exposure of their identity, and cannot enjoy the same rights as ordinary citizens. It takes several years of work to save enough money and bring a family member to Taiwan. Duan Chenlin, a descendant of the Thai Myanmar Orphan Army, had his sister and other family members come to Taiwan to settle down and start a family more than 20 years ago. However, when he was young, he remained in Myanmar because someone needed to tend to the family's fields and support the household. Nonetheless, Duan always considered himself Taiwanese as he attended the Mingde Chinese School in Bago, Myanmar, where he used Taiwanese textbooks and received education in traditional Chinese characters. Hailing from the conflict-ridden northern region of Myanmar, Duan experienced the turmoil firsthand. Particularly 3 years ago, during the Myanmar coup, government forces bombed civilian homes, leaving nothing behind. Bodies lay on the roadside, and life became unbearable. Fearing bombardment in his area, Duan frequently relocated with his children overnight. Determined to provide a better life for his children, he decided to come to Taiwan. Since the end of 2022, he has been shuttling between Taiwan and Myanmar on a tourist visa. Coming to Taiwan for Duan is not easy. Due to the war, his whole family squeezed into a small house in the high mountain fields of northern Myanmar. In order to buy a ticket to Taiwan from Yangon, the largest city in Myanmar, he had to slowly find his way down from the mountains, because roads or bridges were destroyed in many places. Sometimes there were ongoing battles ahead, making it impossible to pass through. He had to wait until things calmed down to continue his journey, taking more than 10 days to finally reach Yangon Airport. Saving money in the countryside is not easy. In order to send one person to Taiwan, the whole family had to work and save money for many years. He says he hopes to quickly apply for a residency permit so that he can work legally and earn money. Once settled, he can bring each child over one by one or let them apply to come to Taiwan for university. But because of the war, the family kept moving, and the cost of applying for household registration, providing their solitary status, along with travel expenses and air tickets, almost depleted one's savings. He says he doesn't want to stay illegally, but this time the situation in Myanmar is tense. And if he returns, he doesn't know if he'll make it back alive. March 25, 2024 is his final deadline. Identifying themselves as Taiwanese, they will rarely stay illegally in Taiwan and work as undocumented laborers. Duan says many people knew that he would be interviewed by the reporter for Kids, and they entrusted him to speak out. Everyone wants to stay legally in Taiwan. In Taiwan, there are many descendants of the orphaned army like Duan. Some were able to catch the early stages of government openness and have obtained national identity cards. Some, due to incomplete documents at the time or missing the application period, have been staying illegally in Taiwan for many years. There are also those who, due to aging, desire to reunite with family in Taiwan, or factors such as war have been coming to Taiwan in recent years. The early core of the Thai-Burmese Orphan Army came from the forces led by Li Mi, originally consisting of the National Revolution Army fighting against Japan, the Yunnan Guizhou Guangxi Provincial Government Army, and others. However, Lu Han, the chairman of Yunnan province, led a rebellion and surrendered to the Chinese Communist Party. Therefore, family members of fleeing military officers were forced to evacuate from Yunnan, Guangxi, and the southern part of Guizhou. They were then commanded by Li in Bangkok to lead the orphaned army in combat and procure military supplies. In 1953, under international pressure, Li was ordered to return to Taiwan. However, he left behind troops in the area to develop military power, engage in resistance against the Chinese Communist Party, and fight against the Burmese military. Some early units withdrew to Taiwan, and military dependents were arranged by the Republic of China government to settle in the Zhongzheng New Village in Longgang, Taoyuan. Later, Thai, Burmese, overseas Chinese who returned to Taiwan settled mostly in the Zhonghe and Yonghe areas of Taipei. Some military and civilian personnel were also assigned to engage in agriculture and animal husbandry near the Qingjing farm in Nantou. Duan says that many people choose to stay illegally after tourist visas expire. The lucky ones find refuge with relatives, but the unfortunate ones have to work as undocumented laborers everywhere, afraid to reveal their identities and can only hide. Yang Fajun, 36 years old, is also a descendant of the orphan army. He came to Taiwan in October 2015 and finally obtained his residency permit after 8 years. In Myanmar, he was considered a stateless refugee by local government. To survive, he wandered from Myanmar to China. Later, he took a risk and smuggled himself with a small rubber dinghy used by children. When he got tired, he would rest on the rubber dinghy until he reached Lieyu or Little Kinmen. At that time, he was immediately arrested for violating Immigration Act and sentenced to about 2 months in prison. Fortunately, a charitable organization guaranteed his bail and got him released. Yang says he is fortunate to have received help from charitable organizations, both in China and Taiwan. After coming to Taiwan, he was introduced by a charitable organization to help with farming without breaking the law, allowing him to stay and live. However, Yang still cannot see a future in his life and often feels frustrated. Later on, Yang came into contact with Wang Gengshen, the chairman of the Taoyuan City Golden Triangle Culture Foundation. Wang also hails from Myanmar and is an elder from the Mikina Federal School. After Yang proactively sought help, he was able to make connections with the office of the land legislator Tang Huizhen. With the assistance of many people, in July 2023, he finally obtained a residency permit issued by the Taiwanese government. He says his biggest wish now is to become an entrepreneur and help fellow compatriots who are facing similar challenges. Yang says there are not many as fortunate as him. He says he has a senior from the same school in Myanmar who has been in Taiwan for 15 years and still hasn't gotten a residency permit. Others can only stay where they work on jobs, afraid to venture outside for fear of being caught by the police. Therefore, now that he has obtained a residency permit, he strongly wishes to speak out for everyone. He says they identify with Taiwan and have considered themselves citizens of the Republic of China since childhood and only hope to stay legally. The check issued by the country remains uncashed to this day. Wang Gengsheng, on the other hand, is a Chinese descendant from Myanmar. He followed the Republic of China Army to the Golden Triangle as a guerrilla fighter when he was young, later serving as an intelligence officer before retreating to Taiwan in 1979. He mentioned that as a military personnel coming to Taiwan, his rights and benefits were not compromised. However, many of his comrades at the time were simply unable to come to Taiwan. Wang has been assisting Thai Burmese orphan army and their descendants in Taiwan for years, recalling the oath taken back then to defend the Republic of China, uphold the three principles of the people, to shed blood and sweat without hesitation. He says this oath was like a check issued with the highest denomination, being one's willingness to sacrifice for the country. He adds 60% of his fellow soldiers from the same unit cashed in on this highest denomination of sacrifice for the country, but only 3% have come to Taiwan. The rest remain in Thailand and Myanmar, becoming refugees. Some joined the Thai military for survival, while others tried to naturalize in Thailand and Myanmar. Wang says many people don't understand or necessarily agree with the orphan army. At that time, the checks issued by the country to the soldiers promised the best treatment, compensation for the fallen, and even arrangement to bring them to Taiwan. He continues to say, among the chaos of war, when families could not be found, how could these checks be cashed? After the situation stabilized, many of the first generation of the remaining Kuomintang soldiers in Thailand and Myanmar gradually passed away. The second or later generation of these soldiers are still receiving traditional education from the Republic of China in the area and consider Taiwan, where the Republic of China government is located, as their homeland. Therefore, they generally have warm feelings towards people from Taiwan. In 1982, a Taiwanese legislator visited northern Thailand and saw that compared to prosperous Taiwan, the Mae Salon area where the Kuomintang soldiers were stationed seemed like a refugee camp. Wang says later on, many overseas Chinese came to Taiwan to study. However, the policy changed. And even after graduating, they were unable to obtain identification cards. Therefore, many of them became undocumented residents working illegally. Although the exact number is unclear, there were likely several thousand people, including those who arrived in Taiwan by jumping ship or other means. Not naturalization, just moving back to one's own country. According to information from elderly soldiers left behind, the total number of soldiers and their dependents still in the local area is estimated to be around 70 to 80,000. As for the Chinese population along the borders of China, Thailand, Myanmar, and Laos, it is difficult to estimate. But it is estimated to be around 200,000. Currently, the relevant affairs of Thai Myanmar immigrants are mainly handled by the Interior Ministry's National Immigration Agency, and legislators and civil groups are hoping to assist the descendants of the Thai Myanmar soldiers left behind Taiwan to obtain legal residency and even to obtain identification cards. Tang Huizhen, former Democratic Progressive Party legislator and former director of the Civil Affairs Bureau of Taoyuan City, says that many Thai Myanmar soldiers are not recognized locally and have been living rootless lives for generations. Therefore, over the years, they have gradually come to Taiwan or hope to come to Taiwan, identifying themselves as nationals of the Republic of China. She also says they believe that as long as they are willing to work hard in Taiwan, they can definitely make a living. Tang says that after multiple petitions and protests by the Thai Myanmar descendants, in 2009, the government once opened application for Thai Myanmar descendants who were in Taiwan from May 21, 1999 to December 31, 2008. They could apply for a Taiwan ID card by presenting proof of being descendants of soldiers left behind and having evidence of being overseas Chinese students in Taiwan. Unfortunately, at that time, many people had not yet come to Taiwan or even unable to obtain the necessary proof, incomplete documents and other factors, resulting in unsuccessful applications. Who are the Thai Myanmar descendants that are eligible to legally reside in Taiwan? Considering humanitarian and historical factors, the Interior Ministry issued the regulation for Thai Myanmar descendants of military personnel residing or settling in Taiwan in June 2009. This allows Thai Myanmar descendants who are stranded in Taiwan as students to legally reside or settle in Taiwan without household registration as nationals. The eligible individuals are students who came to Taiwan for study or technical training approved by the Education Ministry or the Overseas Community Affairs Council between May 21, 1999 and December 31, 2008. After verification by the Defense Ministry, students can obtain a certificate issued by the Ministry confirming their status as descendants of military personnel. With this certificate and other necessary documents, applicants can apply to the National Immigration Agency. Upon presenting the certificate, applicants can exit Taiwan with a foreign passport, obtain an entry permit from the designated foreign mission beforehand, and receive a copy of the residence permit for Taiwan from the Immigration Service station located in their place of residence. Tang says some descendants of the military personnel describe themselves as being like stray dogs. There is a thin line between not having an identity and obtaining a residence permit. People without an identity cannot work. They don't have labor or health insurance. Even if they work illegally, they might be exploited. For example, on construction sites, regular workers may earn over $1,800 a day, but they might only receive $800. And they dare not switch employers freely for fear of being reported. When they get sick, if they have money, they buy medicine. If not, they endure it. Therefore, at the very least, obtaining a residence permit means they can work and have labor and health insurance without needing to live in hiding. Tang says there are various cases where obtaining an identification card is not easy. For example, there were two siblings. The older brother bought a Thai passport and entered as foreign students, while the younger sister entered as an overseas Chinese student. However, the older brother's application was unsuccessful. She continues to say there are cases of five brothers where the youngest could not apply because he did not study within the application period. Some are eligible but missed the application deadline. Some are two brothers but they need different documents. And many descendants of the army arrived in Taiwan later to find their relatives. Even now, some descendants of the military living in Taiwan are in their 20s or 40s because they cannot obtain household registration or birth certificate, and can only reside illegally. Tang says they know there are still many Thai Myanmar descendants of the military who want to legally live in Taiwan, but for now they can only help those who have already arrived in Taiwan. She emphasizes that each case is different, requiring different documents, so they must assist them in organizing all the necessary documents and then submit a petition to the National Immigration Agency. Throughout the process, they have to be careful and confirm the accuracy of the documents, because if the government finds discrepancies, they might not be able to rectify it. Tang says from June 2023 to now, those who have assisted in accepting applying for residence permits have accepted approximately 376 cases. In particular, the domestic war in Myanmar is serious, and it is more difficult to obtain household registration and other certificate than before. In addition, the situation is complicated. She believes that the government should handle it in a special case manner. She states that from a human rights standpoint, many people in Thailand and Myanmar have no citizenship at all, and they can only stay illegally in Taiwan. They do not want to naturalize in Taiwan, but believe that they are just moving back to their own country. Eagerly participating in election campaign rallies, yet unable to vote, Wang Gengshen, who came from the Golden Triangle, estimates that there are tens of thousands of Thai Myanmar descendants of military personnel in Taiwan who cannot obtain legal residency. Some of them toil as illegal workers, while the more fortunate ones have the protection of family and friends. From having no identity to obtaining a residence permit and then gaining Republic of China citizenship, they do not know when this path will be complete. Wang sighs, saying that their ethnic group is small. Without voting rights, how can they gain attention? Therefore, when they have the ability and rights, they just want to help more compatriots. Wang Genzhu, Wang Gengshen's cousin, came to Taiwan more than 20 years ago, where her mother, siblings, and others have been living. She stayed in Myanmar due to marriage and childbirth. 2 years ago, Wang Gengzhu's daughter came to Taiwan to apply for university, but due to past family troubles and other factors, she suffered from depression. Wang Gengzhu decided to apply to come to Taiwan to take care of her daughter, but after waiting for a long time, she still could not obtain a residence permit. During Taiwan's 2024 election, Wang Gengzhu laments that she still cannot vote. If one day she can express her thoughts through voting, she says she will vote for the candidates willing to help them. Although he could not vote in this year's Taiwan election, Yang Fazhun, along with many compatriots from Thailand and Myanmar, participated in campaign rallies. He says, as legally residing individuals, we hope to have the opportunity to express our demands to high-ranking government officials and tell the government about the difficulties faced by many compatriots. I also really want to vote, says Duan Zhenlin, who has not yet obtained a residence permit. Holding hope in his heart, he always considers Taiwan as his home. This year, he went to election campaign events with relatives and friends, shouting support along with everyone else. Although I currently have no voice, unable to say what I want to say, if I have the opportunity to become a true Taiwanese in the future, I will definitely go vote. This is the right that the people should have, and I will definitely do it.